looking from Acts 14, verses 1 to 28. Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. Verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men." And Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these things, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them." 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. This is the word of the Lord.
We shall now hear the word of the Lord from our preacher, Brother Chinedu Oranye, my assistant witnessing. Praise the Lord.
The whole creation is crying for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole creation is crying, and Lord, the cry of our hearts is that we likewise shall cry out O Lord, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, our prayer is that in this service, our hearts will be encouraged and equipped to do the work of witnessing. And may your name be glorified and exalted. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Our text is from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, and we have read that already, from verse 1 to verse 28. Basically, it's the whole of the chapter. I will be looking at seven things this morning, seven things on this topic, witnessing, consistent witnessing. Would you open your Bible with me, please? Acts 14, verse 1. It says, now it happened that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed. As an introduction, I want to say that we believe that as we go forth, we believe as we witness, there will be results in the name of Jesus. We must start with a sense of faith that there is a harvest out there that is ready to come into the kingdom. There is a harvest from the presidential villa to the street cobbler who fixes your shoe. There is a harvest from the men who sit in boardrooms to those who ride okadas. There is a harvest. And because we don't know who has been prepared by the Lord, we go forth hoping, expecting for response. You know, sometimes you are not ready when God is ready. I was driving out of my estate a few weeks ago, going to church, and I saw a pregnant lady with a young baby walking. I was late for church. All my thought was I needed to get to church. But as I passed the lady, something said to me, why not pick this young woman? So I stopped, I reversed, and I asked, where are you going to? She said she's going to church. And I said, can I take you down the road? She said, okay. So we opened the back door. But then I noticed another man behind her who I did not know they were together, but he was pushing a motorbike. So she stopped and started speaking to the man. And after speaking to the man, she got into my car and we left. And as we drove just a little while, I asked the lady, who was that man? And she said, that was my husband. And I said to myself, how can I pick someone's wife? And I left the husband in the sun pushing a bike. So I stopped. I reversed again. And the man came up to the car and I said, are you going to church? He said, yes, but my bike has a problem. And I told him, park your bike, get in the car. Your bike is safe in the estate. And we left. And as we got talking, it's a long story, but they decided to follow me to the church I was going and not to the church they were going to. And as we talked, we realized that there's so much in their lives that needed input. They came to service. There was an altar call. And the woman came to the altar. Is somebody following me? But you know, it started with me picking up a woman on the street. The next Sunday, they came to my house and said, "Are you going to church?" I said, "Yes." They jumped into the car. And we came to church. The next Sunday, the husband came to the altar. All because I stopped to pick someone on the road. I'm starting this sermon with this introduction, that there is a harvest that is ready. They don't look like they're ready. They look like every one of us. Some dress better than you. Some smell better than you. Some are richer than you are. Some are well off. Some are struggling. Don't look on the outside. In this last day, there is a harvest that is ready. And may we not hold back in the name of Jesus. So it says they went out, they spoke. Please, the New King James, do you see that? It says how many people? Please, how many people if your Bible is there? How many people? A great multitude. Can I ask you a question? When they went out that morning, did they know a great multitude will come to faith? Did they know? No. They had no idea. Now, I don't have time because VFC normally gives us very little time to talk. I wish I was speaking in my home church. I could take 25 minutes for the introduction. But you know, I can tell you story after story after story of people I least expected to give their life to Christ, but they did. Someone came to fix something in my house, and while he was fixing it, you know, I was just chatting with him. When he was done, he came to me and said, "Oga, I finished. How much is it?" He told me. I put my hand in my wallet to pay him. And the Lord said to me, "Have you shared the gospel with this man?" And I said, "Come, please, sit down." In a few minutes, without any drama, I shared the gospel. And, you know, this man is a Muslim. And as I shared the gospel with him, he asked me, he said, "What must I do to receive this Jesus?" Honestly, can I confess to you, when I shared the gospel, I did not expect him to believe. But I wanted to relieve my conscience. You know how it is? I can say to the Lord, "You know, I told him, but he didn't believe." But surprisingly, he believed. As I led him to pray, and as he was praying, and I was praying with him, outside the door, I kept hearing, "Amen, amen, amen." So when we finished, I said, "Who is there?" Another man came very sheepishly into the room. That was his younger brother, who is his assistant. As the elder brother was giving his life to Christ in the room, the younger brother was receiving the Lord outside the room. Did I expect him to believe? No! Did I wake up that morning thinking the workers will receive the gospel? No! Friends, there are people who are ready. In this book, I tell lots of stories of people who came to faith and how they came to faith and why they came to faith. So before we go into the seven things, this is the intro. Please, I hope the time hadn't started. Now you can start the clock. Friends, seven things we need to beware of. Seven things we need to prepare for. in this issue of witnessing, seven things. Number one, in verse 1, it says, New King James Version, now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the Jews. They went together to the Jews. The first point here is we must go. People will not get saved when we expect them to come. It was the Old Testament where everyone had to come to Jerusalem. Here, God tells us to do what? To go. And if you are somewhat shy, or you are not the talkative type, or you don't feel you are the preacher type, go together with someone. Did you notice they went together? Did you notice Barnabas didn't preach much? Did you notice Barnabas was not, in fact, when they thought they were gods, do you remember later on, they called Barnabas Zeus, and they called Paul what? Is it Hermes or something like that? You know why they called Paul Hermes? They said because he was what? The chief speaker. What that means is he was the one doing all the talking. He was talkative. Talk, talk. So those of you who don't like those who talk a lot, put them in front to preach. Let them use their talking for something good. Brethren, don't use your talking to describe why Liverpool is on the head of the league. You see people that can talk about the Premier League with such detail. Rashford was injured, that's why he did not play. And they know for every week he did not play what was happening. They know the hospital they took him to. How come some people are so talkative about everything except the gospel? May you use your talkativeness for something good. Now, if you are a Zeus, the Barnabas, stand behind the one who is talkative. Let him talk. There's no competition. Be praying behind him. But the point here is they went together. Is somebody following me? They went what? Together. But they went. The quiet one, the talkative one, they both went. And may we go in the name of Jesus. Oh, I am praying that we will not hear this message and the Lord prompts your heart in a board meeting and you keep quiet. A friend of mine, a venerable of the Anglican Communion, he told me he went for a conference in South Africa, an educational conference, and there were hundreds of speakers and he was to present a paper. And he said, when it was his turn, just before he went up, the Lord said to him, preach my word. He said, me? In South Africa, with xenophobia. He struggled in his heart. The Lord said, put my word into your presentation. And when he came up, he presented his paper, but kept putting the word of God in there. He saw the faces of the people change. Just imagine you presenting a seminar and you keep introducing Jesus. Friends, it may sound like an abuse of authority or platform, but there is no platform that Jesus should not be mentioned. In the boardroom, it should be mentioned. In Aso Rock, it should be mentioned. On the streets, it should be mentioned. Everywhere. When they went to the synagogue, they were not supposed to talk about Jesus in the synagogue. They know the Jews don't like to hear about this, but they brought Jesus in. And this venerable said, as he was speaking and putting Jesus in the message, and people were unhappy, he says he saw some people in the crowd doing him like this, thumbs up, as though, go on, go on. You are doing what we cannot do. May we affirm those who are speaking in the name of Jesus. The Venerable told me that when they finished, he asked, if you want to receive Jesus, lift up your hands. Brethren, hundreds of people in South Africa, and yet he was bold in an educational seminar to mention Christ. And some people did this. Now, you know, he broke the rules, right? Probably they will not invite him again. Most likely, that's the last time. When he came down, a bishop who was also in the program called him aside and said, you have disgraced us. This was not church. We sent you here to present a secular paper. Why did you bring in church? I need to see you after dinner in my suit. The Venerable said he was shaking. He went after dinner to meet the bishop. And when he went there, he said the bishop came out in his bishop robe. And he, the Venerable, stood up to greet him. He said the bishop knelt before him and said, you have done what I wish I could do. Pray for me to have what you have. You'll be surprised what your boldness will do to those who you think are greater than you. They went forth and they did what? And they preached. May we preach it in the name of Jesus. Which leads me to number two. In that same verse 2, verse 1. It says, and they spoke. The New Living Translation says, they preached with such power. Verse 3 says, speaking boldly in the Lord. This thing will not happen through cowardice. Honestly speaking, one reason we don't preach is there's a fear, isn't it? Please, can I get some feedback? I know VFC, we are very respectable people, so we don't, but can I get... Is it true or false? Even some are too afraid to say true. You see, now they've taken life because you didn't say the truth. Is somebody with me? Friends, there is so much fear. There is so much fear. It's crippling the church. But the Bible says they went and they spoke boldly. Number two, may we not wait thinking the world will change just by prayer. Prayer is good, but beyond prayer is what? Speaking the word with boldness. Oh God, I'm praying, raise men who will speak boldly in the corridors of power. Hallelujah. When the governors meet, when the Senate and House of Assembly and the senior leaders in this country gather, oh God, raise men who will speak the truth. Spoke boldly. As a youth couple, I was teaching in a primary school. I was so touched in one of the classes. There's a young boy, they call him Pastor. During the break time, he would stand up on a table and be preaching to his colleagues. I just admire that young boy. Fear is of the devil. Fear is of the devil. And may the Lord deliver us from every fear in the name of Jesus. Number three, in verse 2, it says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore they stayed a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord. Verse 3, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Number 3, God will support our outreach. If I go in my name, if I go in my power, then there's a problem. But I don't go in my name. I go in the name of the Lord. Brethren, may we go expecting God to support us in the name of Jesus. And we believe he will do so. You will see further down in verse 10, as it was mentioned earlier on, the healing of the man at Lystra. The Lord was proving their message to be true. New Living Translation says, the Lord proved their message was true. O Lord, prove that our message is true in the name of Jesus. Number 4. Verse 4 says, but the multitude of the city was divided. The gospel of Jesus will bring a division. The gospel of Jesus will bring opposition. Like it was mentioned, the body of Christ is fasting and praying. Our work among the Gbagi people, one of the earliest ministries we've had, we've planted so many churches among the Gbagis, we've started school among the Gbagis, we've had generation of Gbagi Christians who have come to faith. But the Fulanis came and slaughtered, scattered, destroyed. Today, the Gbagi land is left virgin. Scattered. There's no Gbagi man or woman. They are all in camps. Whenever the gospel is being preached, the enemy is stirred up. There is anger. And so Christianity is not a religion for docile people. Christianity will attract opposition. Even that very nice business partner, the moment you start talking about Jesus again and again and again, he will come against you. If you see further down in verse 19, they stoned Paul to the point of death. Expect opposition. That's number 4. Expect it. And don't be surprised when it comes. Don't be surprised when your business partner fights you. Don't be surprised when your neighbor stops talking to you. Don't be surprised when people hate you for the sake of the gospel. But may we keep going in the name of Jesus. Number 5, in verse 5, it says, and when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and to the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel there. Number 5, know when to take off. Know when to flee. Know when to step aside. Know when to run. Don't be a hero when God has not asked you to be a hero. Don't be a martyr to prove a point. Hallelujah. Here, they knew it was not time to stay. So what did they do? They fled. They left. Please, when you preach the gospel and people oppose you, don't insist, you must believe now. And the man said, I don't want to hear. You say, you must hear. Today, now today. You see this gospel? You must believe. By force, by fire. No. When you see there's opposition and people don't want to hear, may God give us wisdom to know when to step back. It takes wisdom to know when, all right, I've preached here, I need to move. If I remain here, something will happen that shouldn't happen. Of course, we know later on, Paul got stoned. The same Paul who fled got stoned. May you be stoned when you are not supposed, when you did not, how will I put it? Even when you try to escape and God says they should stone you, may they stone you. Nobody is saying amen to that word. Uncle, you are looking at me like that. The message includes you, sir. He's shaking his head. In this situation, he fled, right? The stoning was not meant to happen. In the other situation, the stoning came. Listen, when stoning must come, let it what? Let it come. But when you can escape stoning, what should you do? Escape. You people have not faced stoning in this church. Kai. Oh Lord, bring stones. Let me tell you, stoning strengthens faith. Persecution strengthens faith. The lack of stones is what makes many weak. Persecution is good for the church. And after the stoning, they prayed for them. And what happened? Paul what? He rose again. You cannot die before your time. So no matter how they stone you, if heaven has not said you will die, you will not die. Number six. You notice what happened further down in verse 14. When they thought they were now gods. Verse 14. When the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard this, they tore their clothes, ran in among the multitudes, crying and saying, "Men! Why are you doing these things? We are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God." Can you imagine? They had done such a wonderful ministry, and people began to celebrate them. People said they were gods. They brought sacrifices. You know, it would have been a wonderful time to soak in their attention, isn't it? Soak in their attention. I love Victoria Fellowship Church. You know, Victoria Fellowship Church does not give priority to persons. We focus on Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is why we are gathered. It's not when somebody preaches, then people say, "Oh, the heaven spoke," and then they come and line up and the man of God starts putting oil on their heads. There was no celebration in the early church. The men said, "We are men like you. We are ordinary people like you. If God has done something, give him the glory. Don't focus on us." You know, in some churches today, before the man of God comes to preach, he will tell you the honorarium he should receive. They will tell you ahead, "If I'm coming to your ministry, my level of anointing requires this." And if they are coming from out of town, they will tell you how many star hotel they will stay. And they don't come alone, they come with their protocol staff. So the first time I came to preach, you know, I've been part of Victoria Fellowship Church from the days you were in, is it Corona? Corona. And after speaking, the brethren came and said, "Thank you, Brother Chidi, for this wonderful message." Gave me a handshake and said goodbye. I said, "No taxi money." He said, "Just the Lord go with you. Here we venerate Jesus. God bless you for the word." And everybody went about their business. So I had to sort myself out. But it's a good tradition. Is somebody with me? It's a good tradition because you know you are not coming to speak, to receive. Till today, I'm sure after they will give me a white envelope that has my name printed. It says, "Victoria Fellowship Church appreciates your message today. We are sure you were blessed." Amen. That's it. Oh. It's just letter. But it is good. You know why? We are not celebrating men. Somebody say hallelujah. were not celebrating men. They were going to make them gods. They tore their garments and said, we are just men like you. We are ordinary men like you. I don't need your celebration. I don't need your accolades. I don't need your praises. I think I've told the story here where I preached at a conference. After I finished and I came down, somebody ran up to me and he held my legs and touched my shoe. And he said, I receive your anointing today. I said, come on, stand up. You have not received anything. If anointing was gotten like that, everybody would have it. Go and pay the price of seeking the face of God. No zeus. Hallelujah. In the church, no zeus. No zeus. Brothers and sisters, we all worshiping one God. Number six is what? Don't use ministry for self-glorification. Don't use ministry for self-glorification. I presented my book today, but I told our chairman, I said, can somebody else do this? Because I don't want to connect my message with a book. I don't want it to sound like I'm standing here to promote my book. But I'm bold to say that this will help us in our ministry of witnessing. That is the only reason I'm bold to present it. No self-glorification. Finally, as we close and prepare to go into communion, number seven. Is that number seven on your list? Or is that number six? Or should I go back to number four? The lay reader is my dear friend, and I know she's itching where she is right now, but I know she will not stand up and come and meet me. In the name of Jesus. Verse 21, it says, and when they had preached the gospel in that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. And that's the final point. Don't just witness. When people get saved, what should you do? The Bible says they return, isn't it? They return. Many of us are guilty of bringing people to the faith, but we abandon them. And we give the numbers, we celebrate the numbers. But do we follow up? This lady I talked about, the pregnant lady, my wife felt moved. They are living in a small boys' quarters in the estate. My wife felt moved when she saw their condition. We try to help them, give some rice, give some beans. Listen, discipleship is not just teaching. You meet people at the point of their needs. My wife said she met the lady yesterday. The lady came to visit and she was going somewhere for a walk. And my wife said, how are you? Fine. How is everything fine? And she was led to ask her, how are you feeding? And the lady said, the rice you gave us just ended yesterday. My wife said, come and take more rice. You don't just preach, you help. Discipleship is an action word. They went back strengthening the disciples. Do you see that? They strengthened them with the word of God and they strengthened them in other ways. May the Lord use us as his witnesses in the name of Jesus. Let me close by where I started. There's a harvest. Your neighbor may be ready. Your colleague at work may be ready. May we not hold back. May we go forth with boldness and with power. I am begging God, everyone that was assigned to me for salvation, may I not pass them by. Help me to be spontaneous. Help me to respond to you. Do you want to rise on your feet as we prepare for the communion? But with this one prayer, this prayer I pray for myself, would you make that your one prayer? Everyone you have ordained for salvation through me, may I not pass them by. It could be a carpenter working in your house. It could be a mechanic fixing your car. It could be a business partner. It could be a neighbor. It could be a someone in the bus. Victoria Fellowship Church, would you just join me in making that one prayer? Everyone you have ordained for me, may I not pass them by. Can we take that as the choir leads us in a song and we prepare for communion?
We are one in the Spirit, we are one.